Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. Website broadcast inspired by the Holy Spirit. I thank the Lord for what He's doing in these days. God has so much to say to us. There's so much to attain in Him. We're supposed to occupy until Jesus comes. A lot of people's mind is on the coming of the Lord. And it's wonderful to watch for His coming, to watch and pray, to keep our houses in order, to operate in the love of God. God told Hezekiah when he was about to die to get his house in order, for he would die. And then he prayed. And see, our prayers avail much. The prophet Isaiah went and told him that he was going to die. The Lord told him to get his house in order because he was going to die. But he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah back to him and told him that he would live. And he asked the Lord for a sign that he would live. He said, it's easy for you to turn the dial forward, but turn the dial back 15 degrees. And the Lord did so. Now, one man prayed. Our prayers mean a lot to the Lord. And we can believe Him for things according to His word. And He can help us. Now, we've been talking about receiving from the Holy Spirit, making adjustment. We've been talking about training, and then receiving what the Holy Spirit has to say, allowing Him to train us and prepare us for His will, and to make adjustments, and then to make change, and then to transition. Now we're going to talk about graduation. But I had another thought about transition to make it clearer what transition really is. It's a graduated form of change. Let's say a man walk out of the world system and into the kingdom of God. All right, now in the kingdom of God, there's a gate. He changed from one kingdom to another. He made the change. He's in the kingdom of God. Now the gate is behind him, and it's not locked. In fact, it's open. When he fully transitioned, he closes that gate, and he walks away from that gate towards God. He has transitioned from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He closed the gate behind him. He made decisions never to leave the kingdom of God again. Let's even say he locked the gate behind him. Not to lock anyone out, but he locked that future. I mean, he locked the past in the past. He fully transitioned into the will of God. Now, a lot of people don't do that because traditionally people pattern their ministries and even their actions and their decision after what they've seen already. That's what they know. That's what they're comfortable with. But we have to, if we do that, our lives will be no different. And we bear fruit after our kind. And the reason we do that is because we're part of somebody's fruit. We are somebody else's fruit. Whether it's our parents, our pastor, college professors, whoever taught us, whoever imparted their wisdom to us, we automatically pattern ourselves after them in some ways. I remember Elder Lewis, he was a pastor. And he had a habit of rocking from side to side. And he didn't know it, but he did. And a lot of the guys looked up to him. And they sit on the front row and they'd act just like him. They'd rock from side to side. People pattern themselves out to people they look up to. That's just the way it is. Now what if we, and you can't see God, so the only way to visual God, get a visual of who He is to receive His word. And It was pointed out to me that they did that, so I didn't do it. And even though I loved him and I looked up to him, I didn't act like him on purpose anyway. But he was a wonderful man of God. And but that's how it is. People pattern themselves after their leaders. And in order to fulfill God's purposes, you have to learn his ways, and you have to transition fully so that you can, you know, in other words, you're leaving the past in the past, and you're learning things, concepts that you may not have known before, but they're written in the Word. Now, if you take God at his word, you can transition, and if you transition, I promise you, you're going to love it. You know, we read this scripture in one of the other website broadcasts that in Luke chapter 16. And I'm just going to read verse 8 because we covered it already. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children, now this is Jesus talking. He said, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Those in the world, they know how to operate in the world. They've been trained and taught how to do it according to the world. Even Christianity in the world, Christians are people who endeavor to learn of Christ. Doesn't mean they know everything about it, but some of the habits that were picked up has lasted from even the Dark Ages. Now, some of the, you know, Christians are some of the things, some churches don't like to deal with the supernatural side of Christianity. They leave that to Pentecostals and holiness churches. But the Word of God is the Word of God. It all works together. Christianity is a supernatural life. It's a life united with Father God, with God Almighty, through Jesus Christ. See, the world can't, they're not united with, worldly religions are not, they don't unite you back to God. You're still his enemy. And some people will say, well, preacher, that's a narrow way of thinking. Yes, it's narrow path thinking, but it's biblical. Because there's a thing called sin. Born in sin, sin disconnected us from God. And God needed a man to reunite us to him, a holy man, without sin. Only Jesus could do this. And he did it. God didn't send an angel. He became a man. He sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him would have everlasting life and not perish. So if we learn how the kingdom of God works, then and we receive what he's saying, we make the adjustments, and then we transition. And then we graduate. Now, let's say a man walked out of the world system into the kingdom of God. He closed the gate behind him. He's willing to learn everything about, he wants to know God. He's endeavoring to learn about him. Now he's at a point where God can train him. And he's learning. And what happens then? He graduates. Now God is able, we grow from glory to glory. And as long as we grow from glory to glory, we're going to have the results of growing from glory to glory. Your ability to make judgments is going to increase. Your ability to operate in your faith increases. The way you see God's word increases. The way you measure God's word that you believe increases. See, some people, they can believe God for a sore throat, or if they have an ache in their body, they can believe God for healing. But if they get cancer and they get afraid, they may struggle to believe. Or if they had a condition for a very long time, even if they get healed, like we said in the last broadcast, when we were talking about transition. I pointed out how the Lord taught me how doubt can exist in different parts of your being. And your faith will work as long as doubt is not in your heart. If it's in your heart, it cancels your faith. Even though you have real God, the God kind of mountain-moving faith, if you have a portion of doubt, it will not work. But if you have doubt in your body and no doubt in your heart, your faith will still work. But this is the problem. I pointed out how my sinuses work when Pastor Webb prayed for my sinus problem, my allergies. I felt the anointing and I could breathe like a teenager. And I'm 54 years old and I could breathe so good. And you know, I was 53 back then, so I was happy. But I had learned that doubt can exist in different parts of your body. And my nose was looking, you know, for symptoms. I wasn't used to my nose breathing air like without problems. And I had to speak by my faith and tell my body to stop looking for symptoms, but enjoy the kingdom of God. Enjoy the anointing. Enjoy healing. And I had to do it several times because I wasn't used to my nose working right. So if you're used to a situation, you have to speak the word. You have to stay in faith about it, and don't yield to the doubt that may be operating where the pain was. You know, you were in pain and you're looking for it, and sometimes your body may feel that it'll come back. Don't drive it out. Drive the Philistines out. Drive the Canaanites out of the land. See, your body is just like Israel. The nation of Israel, when they took the promised land, they were supposed to drive out all the Canaanites, all of them. Well, the Gibeonites deceived Joshua, and he made a deal with them, and he allowed them to stay. Now remember this: what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You don't have to make a deal with the Gibeonites, so to speak. You don't have to make a deal with the pain that you were used to. And it's hard for people to change the way that they think about you. If they're used to you being in a wheelchair and sick, and the Lord enable you to walk, when they come around, they doubt the miracle. They automatically doubt it. And if you're walking around, some people feel insulted. Some people will rejoice. Your true friends, I mean, those that love God and understand His ways and didn't try to resist the supernatural move of God, they're going to try to encourage you to keep walking. But everybody else is going to be looking for you to go back to your wheelchair or back to your sick bed. So don't give in to the persuasions of others and the fears of others and the doubts of others. Because people, it's just like a child. Everybody knew them. They made mediocre grades in school or whatever. And they go on and they finish school and become an engineer or doctor or whatever. Well, people, when they go back to the people they grew up with, they're going to try to receive, they're going to be used to them like they were. And they have grown. They have received an education. They're a different person. They have to catch up. Well, some people want to look at you like you were in your condition. But when you transition, you're not moved by what people need you to be for their sake, for their thoughts. And they'll have to respect the fact that you have grown. So it is when you graduate. You know, you may be a pharmacist or something. One of my good friends, he became a pharmacist. I respect him as a pharmacist. He's not just a high school student. He's a pharmacist. He's a family man. He's a friend of mine, and he preaches. So thank God for him. People grow. They don't, we're designed, we're made in God's image, and we're designed to grow and graduate. Now, when God called you to do something, and you yield to Him, and you learn His ways, and you learn to understand, and you learn His concept, you continually transition, you continually grow, and there's no limit to how much you can grow. As you do grow, which we grow from glory to glory, you understand how the kingdom works. Your vision will be increased. You can see yourself doing more than you used to. And under a challenge, you find yourself laughing at the challenges that you used to struggle with, because you've graduated. And now your anointing also increases because you've increased. If you're anointed and you operate according to your faith, you're faithful with the anointing and you're faithful to the anointing. And the way you're faithful to the anointing, you have to conduct yourself according to the heart of God. You have to conduct yourself with integrity and love. You have to live a holy life, a life that's set apart. You can't be worldly. If you're worldly, you're not faithful to the anointing. And then when the Lord prompts you to say something to people, and you don't say it, then you're not being faithful with the anointing. But whenever the Lord prompts you to say something encouraging to somebody, or lay hand, or if you're anointed to heal, and somebody's around and they need healing, and the Lord prompts you to pray for that person, if you yield to Him, you pray for that person, even though people not going to like it. Now you're faithful with the anointing. All right, now you've grown. You've obeyed God and you grew. You received His word. You made adjustments. You transitioned into doing His will. You won't go back. So you graduated. So what happens to your anointing? It does the same thing. What happens to your vision? As you operate in that anointing and as you go forward obeying God, you see yourself doing greater things. And then the Lord might add more spiritual gifts. Or you'll find yourself operating in the gifts more frequently. And you'll hear testimonies of people being blessed in a greater way. That means that your anointing has multiplied. And there's no limit to how much it can multiply. It's up to you. If you keep growing and graduating and doing the things of God, it continues to grow. And people who, and you're, the type of people that listen to you, they'll be like you. If you continually multiply in life and you continually graduate, that's going to be normal. That's your pattern. That's the pattern that you set. That's the pattern that you broadcast. And all those who listen to you and partake of your ministry, they'll see you doing it and they'll expect the same thing in their ministry. And they will do it and they will obey God. And see, this didn't happen a long time ago. In the Catholic Church, before Martin Luther came, they used a Latin Bible and translated it for the people. The people didn't have that Latin Bible. You know, it was translated into Latin, and they teach people what they wanted them to know, and they lived a lukewarm life. And the king was in it. You know, kings use religion to rule. And so the Catholic Church and the kings of Britain and other places, they were in cahoots. And they watered down the word and they controlled the people. But Martin Luther became a priest. And he was a true man of God. He believed on Jesus and he taught salvation through faith only. And he wrote those 95 theses and he taught people to believe God again, and they protested the junk they were getting, and wars were fought. And then he interpreted the Bible from Latin to Germany. And then Tyndale did the same thing. He translated into English, and eventually King James Bible came about. Now all of these are translations. They are not altered. They are translations. the Word of God had to be translated into different languages, because at the Tower of Babel, the languages were changed. It was many languages instead of just one. So the Word of God had to be translated into different languages so people could understand it, so they could believe God, so they could have faith, so they could go to heaven, in that order. Now, every time you grow from glory to glory, you do it in the sight of everybody you know. And what happens to your kind? What happens to the type of people that come after you? What happens to your fruit? The people that partake of your ministry, the people that listen to you, they do what you do, because we bear fruit after our kind. Jesus said a good tree it don't bear evil fruit. And let's put it this way, because you might see a rotten apple on a good tree. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a poisonous fruit. A good tree will produce, all things being equal, it will produce good fruit. Now, a worm might get in it, but it's still good fruit. It's not the tree's fault. That he's not talking about the worm that might get in one of the apples or pears or whatever. But if it's a pear tree, it's going to produce pears only. And if it's a good tree, it's going to produce pears that's fit to eat. Some of them are going to be fit to eat. None of them will kill you. But a false prophet cannot produce good fruit. Their fruit is evil, just like them, because their influence is evil. And false prophets, they weaken the people. They don't bless the people, they weaken the people. They use fear tactics, and they've gotten in pride and preeminence. So the kind of people that come from their church have the same problems. Now anybody that believe on Jesus, they're in the kingdom of God. And the ones that's true, that false prophet's going to vex their spirit and they're going to leave. Now, some people get saved and go to a church that happens, the pastor happens to be false. Well, he's going to vex their spirit and they're going to want to leave. Only lukewarm people going to want to be there. Because sincerity attracts sincerity. Deep calls to deep. But false prophets, they weaken the people. And you can't wait to leave them. And also, false people, if they go to a true pastor, they're going to want to leave because they're running from the light. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine. It solves many problems. People that don't love the light are going to leave, and people that want it are going to come. People that want to know God and love him, they're going to listen to a good man of God or a good woman of God. And all the devils and lukewarm people and backslidden false prophet type people, they're going to leave. They don't even like him. In fact, they don't even like God. False prophets don't even like God, even though they call themselves preachers. They love this world. See, you'll love one and hate the other. And Pastor Dollar said, you can't even hate both. You're going to love one and hate the other. You can't love God and the world system at the same time. But when people transition and they leave the ignorance in the background and they receive the training of God and they make all the necessary adjustments, then they fully transition. They close the gate. They stay in the kingdom. They do kingdom business. Their pattern becomes a biblical choice. When it was time for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I went biblical. I didn't go what was normal. When it was time for me to learn about authority, I went biblical. When the Lord trained me how to follow him, I went biblical. It's normal for people in the kingdom of God to grow from glory to glory. That makes your life better, more powerful, more loving. See, love is power. Love is real power. Hatred is weakness. And as I transition into things of God, I grow from glory to glory. And whenever I find weaknesses, I conquer them. Just like when the Lord told me that doubt can exist in different parts of your being. I didn't just waste that information. I taught it, and I endeavored, I started speaking different. I said, I hate doubt. Doubt can't exist in my body. And I said it against the future. I said it to solve my problems. Now the Lord taught me to fight till you win and then live in victory. All these things gives you the advantage that God was giving you in the first place. If you find any form of weakness, do something about it. Speak the word of God and destroy it. Kill it. When it came to temptation, I wanted to kill it. I asked the Lord to teach me how I could destroy Satan, all the temptations that Satan was with sin. One weakness was the enemy was trying to tempt me with women. So I asked him to teach me how to view women correctly without being tempted by them. Because most women are beautiful and designed to attract men. But I wanted to do it God's way. So I asked the Lord, how do you do it? And he taught me. I did the things I found in the world, in the Word. Not the world, but in the Word. I cast down evil imaginations. Cast my concerns and cares to God. I confess that I spoke by faith that I love every woman beside my wife as sisters, as my sisters, as people that need to be saved, people that I care about, but not. And I rebuked the spirit of lust to the point that it didn't bother me. But what really brought it all home for me was when the Lord said, "Never fear falling." And then it totally transformed the way that I process women in my mind and in my heart. And I didn't see them as a threat anymore. See, some women are beautiful and they've gotten in pride about it and they try to control the room. And by the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God, they're just a person. And I found myself laughing at situations that would have tempted me. And in those days, in the early 90s, the Lord showed me all, and I wrote a book about it. I said, I wish I could teach people that. And it's a play. And it's at the back of the book called The Cost of Freedom on the Living Letter Ministries page. Now, this broadcast is on New Living Letters. The other website I have is livingletterministries.com. livingletterministries.com, all small case. Put it in your address bar, you'll go straight to it. Look on the Living Letters page and find and click on The Cost of Freedom. Scroll to the end of that book and there's a play called Free Freedom. And that's what the Lord taught me back in like 1993 and 4. Now, the things that I learned it from in a process of time between the years of 1986, the fall of 86, to the spring of 87. The Lord taught me those things. And then I wrote about it back in 1993 and 1994. Anyway, when you transition, you grow from glory to glory. You graduate. You're not going to stay the same. And everything about you increases. Your anointing increases with your faithfulness. See, your faithfulness activates the anointing that you're capable of operating in. When people want it, when they're sincere and they want to know God, and they hear you speak in the anointing, or if your gift is to heal or whatever it is, when people receive it, they activate your anointing as well. Because their spirit man is crying out for it. When the more they hear you teach, they want more. And they activate your anointing. And at that point, the Lord will use you like a tool in his hand. You'll find yourself doing things that you didn't think you could do, saying things you didn't think you could say. Wisdom that's far above your pay grade coming out of your mouth. And people will look at you because they see you talking, and you'll be just as puzzled as they are because they activated your anointing. and you were willing to use it. And the Lord have you saying things that you didn't think you were capable of saying. And then you'll go back and listen to the recording if you were smart enough to record it, and you'll learn from it. or you'll remember what God said. You know, most preachers record their message, and everybody need to record what they say under their anointing, because the anointing, my friend, is timeless. See, the Lord gave me this assignment to make it available. And this website reaches all the way around the world. And everybody who partakes of it, they're going to grow. We all grow together. But see, right now, the Lord is using me. And tomorrow, He's going to use you. Now, I'll be phased out if the Lord tarries long enough. I'll go to heaven. And then everybody who was here who partook of this anointing, they're gonna do greater works than I did. When people transform according to the kingdom of God, what happens to their influence? It becomes the handiwork of God. And their children, see, you don't have to be called to operate according to the kingdom of God. You don't have to be an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher. When you receive the wisdom of God and you live it, all right, the next generation, they're going to have vision for what it took me years to learn, or any other person that's spoken to your life. It took us years to learn it. The generation after us, they hear it fresh, they live it, and then that becomes the